Brother Cleo is going to come, so if you'll open up your Bible to 1 John chapter 4, and he's going to read all the way through 1 John chapter 4, and then he's going to read the first three verses of chapter 5, and we'll deal more with John chapter 4 and John chapter 5 tonight, but I have some things that I'll share with you this morning.
So much money to be had, things to give, but you know what? Today we stand in the presence of a holy God that has given us the free gift of salvation. Amen. It's truly a blessing. Amen. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us, he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, our God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and every one that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous.
In this selection of scriptures, there's quite a few verses in here that I really like, and you know, and of course, all of them are good. But you know, I think, oh, that's a really good one. That's a really good one. That's a really good one. Oh, and this one's a really good one. Chapter 5 and verse number 3, for this is the love of God, that ye keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You know, I thank the Lord that everything that He has commanded me to do, everything that He has instructed me to do and asked me to do, is not grievous. And what that's talking about, that doesn't mean that it's not hard. That doesn't mean that it's not difficult. That doesn't mean that it doesn't involve trials as we go along. What that just simply means is it's a delightful. It's easy. It's something that I do of a willing heart and not because it's commanded. Not because it's something that I have to do. It's something that I want to do. It's something that I enjoy doing. You know, there's nothing better than, you know, when you finish a hard job and it's sweat, blood, and tears, and difficult, and when you get done and you step back and you look at it and you think, wow, that's neat. You know, that doesn't take away from the pain in the back and the leg and the cramped muscles and the torn up skin on your hands and all of the hard stuff that went into it. But there's that enjoyment, there's that excitement, there's that good pride when you back up and you look at it and it's finished. And that's, as I think about what the Lord has asked me to do and the love that He's asked me to give, you know, it's not grievous. And you say, well, where are you going, preacher? You know, what are you talking about here this morning? I'm going to get to it. I'm going to get around to it. And we're going to look at a few other things in here later this evening for this evening service. But I'd like us to draw our attention down to chapter 4 and verse number 7. And I don't know, as I was preparing this message and I was thinking about it, I guess the best way that I could put what I would like to share with you all today is behind the scenes. Behind the scenes. You know, we have just finished up a month, and I'll tell you what, it's been quite a month. It's been quite a month. Not bad things. Good things. We started out our month this year celebrating our church anniversary, and having a big fellowship on the grounds. In order for that to be all accomplished, in order for that to be done, there was a lot of work that went into it. There was a lot of behind the scenes, and you know we even dipped way down as far as workers, and when I say way down, I don't mean in a negative way down, but we even dipped way down in workers and enlisted 7-year-olds to paint and to come out and labor in the heat of the day and in the sun it was kind of amusing, you know. As I went downstairs, you know, at the end of the day, and the paintbrushes were cleaned up, I could tell which one belonged to the 7-year-old, because where he held it at the very tip with his fingers, that was the only place that there wasn't paint. But you know, that from the bottom of the brush all the way up his arm and all over his body, you know, he done a really good job of painting himself, but he also did a really good job of painting. And you know, again, behind the scenes, you know, there were folks that come and not because of their love necessarily for me, but their love for God, their love for the church. There were some folks that came out and spent hours raking, picking up sticks and cutting logs and cutting grass and making sure things were set up and things were attractive and nice looking for when folks came. And then there were folks, and praise the Lord, the day of the event, or actually probably the night before the event, many of our ladies and some of our men, you know, the food that was prepared. And boy, I'll tell you what, if you missed it, you missed a feast. You missed a feast. You missed some good food. You missed some you missed some really good desserts, and you missed a really good time of fellowship. And we moved the service up, our evening service up, but praise the Lord, Tammy and I, we finally got out Sunday evening. We're not complaining. We finally got out Sunday evening about 8:30 in the evening. But it was a wonderful time. And you say, well, where are you going with all this, Pastor? It's just going behind the scenes. Many times we come to church. Many times we enjoy the service, and we enjoy the music, and we enjoy the things that go on, and the way things look. But as I, especially this month, look and think about, behind the scenes and each person that got involved, and I was excited last week. Our youth room was full, and again today the youth room was full. Yesterday we took our van and we went on our first road trip as a youth group, and we put about 160 miles round trip on the van, and went to we went over to First Baptist Church in Springboro, Ohio, to a youth rally, and it was wonderful, and it was exciting to watch the young people as they participated in the games and they participated in the service, and we had a good time. We had a good time of fellowship up there. We had a good time of fellowship while we were there. We had a good time of fellowship stopping at UDF on the way back, and again behind the scenes, I got this crazy ideal, it would be exciting for us, for the young people, if we had a shirt that had our church name on it, and a shirt that had what I guess unofficially I have adopted as the name of our team group. Behind the scenes. Behind the scenes, folks with a loving heart put it together so we could have it. And so we could go out as a church and as young people and represent a wonderful place. A place where there's love. A place where the gospel is preached. A place where there's emphasis on getting things done for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, it was an honor be able to take the young people and be able to go and represent our church, but more importantly, represent our God. And this month has just been a good month. A lot of things done behind the scenes. People, and I even had, and the reason I'm not mentioning any names is because I had people tell me, don't mention my name. I don't need recognition. That's a good thing. Remember. That's a wonderful thing. I just want to tell you, as your pastor, I'm excited about God and what He's doing in our church, and I am looking forward to more of what God is going to do. So I just kind of wanted to share that with you and behind the scenes, and let's go down here and let's look at the scriptures, and I want to this morning here just take a few minutes and show you where behind the scenes come from and the origin of behind the scenes. Verse number 7 says, "Beloved," and I like the way John here in the book of John addresses his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another." Now again, he puts that in kind of a gentle command. You know, it's not that he's asking here something optional or something that can be debated. He's simply putting it out there. And again, so that and many of you all know this, and but for our visitors' sake, you know, I've shared with you many times what love means. It's not the Hollywood kissy kissy huggy huggy stuff. That's actually lust. It's not even like, because like is how you feel. You know, and there's sometimes that Miss Tammy don't like me. I thank God she loves me, and there's good cause for that dislike. But I thank God that she loves me. You see, love is not a feeling like. It's not filthy like lust. It's a decision. It's a commitment. It's something that when you love someone else, it doesn't matter if they love you back. It doesn't even matter if they stab you in the back. It doesn't matter what they do or they don't do for you. What you've done is you've made a decision that coming from you, you're going to respond differently. You're going to be willing to give. You're going to be willing to take care of. You're going to be willing, you know, love is a doing. It's not a receiving. The moment it receives, it's no longer love. Love gives. And so he said here, "Beloved," and he's talking to those people who he has chosen and who he deeply cares for. He said, "Let us, all of us, love one another." So what he's saying here is, okay, brothers, let all of us make a decision on what we're going to do for each other. And you know, I thank the Lord, testimony-wise, here at our church. Now again, I know sometimes we don't like each other. All right? But we love each other. What we've done is we've made a decision. We are a group. You say, well, why is that important? You know why that's important? Because it's that decision of loving that will keep us together and not split us up and break us apart. You ever thought about that? Church splits come from people who don't love each other. You see, if we love each other and we've made a decision, we can work out any disagreement. We can work out any problem. There's nothing that we couldn't do. And so he says here, "Beloved, let us love one another." And then here's the key. "For love is of God." Thank the Lord. You know, I honestly, although I'm talking about it and with it, but without God, I'm incapable. You know why the world is the way the world is? They're not capable of loving. A lost person is not capable of loving. Because the Bible says God is love. Now, I'm not saying that a lost person is not capable of feeling emotion. I'm not saying that a lost person cannot feel temporary attachment. But the Bible's very clear. It says, let us love one another, for love is of God. You know what enables me to love, even when I don't like? It's God. God living within my heart. God being my Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says here, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. Proving my point even further. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're sitting in here lost this morning, you say, well, I don't agree with you. I don't like what you're saying. Well, I'm sorry. I truly am. But without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're incapable of loving. Why is the world so selfish? Why are we having, you all turn on the news and we see everything that's going on. Why is the world responding today the way they're responding? They don't have God. They don't have love. And all they can think about is what I want, what feels good to me, and what I have the right to. You see, the Bible says that love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and there's another one of those ands, and knoweth God. You see, my love, God's love for me, and my love for God gives me more knowledge of Him. Gives me an understanding. Gives me a relationship. And verse number 8 goes on to say, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You know, verse number 8 just simply states a fact. States what is. Verse number 7, I'll just back up here a little bit because I glanced over here at my notes. It's a command, the source, and the relationship is what you see in verse number 7. In verse number 8, it's a fact. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You want to improve your love life? Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 9 says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that He might live, that we might live through Him. You know, as we look at verse number 9, the first thing that we see is we see the example. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. You know, God set the bar. And He set it up there really high. You say, well, you know, when God set the bar up there that high, that means it's unattainable. No, it's not. In the example that He gave here, he set the example by giving His only, as the Bible says, His only begotten Son. He sent Him into the world. Have you ever really stopped and thought about the Lord Jesus Christ coming here on this earth? He existed before Matthew chapter 2 and Luke chapter 2 because He's God. He's always been and always will be. Can you imagine trading heaven for this earth? I mean, if you only looked at it that far, Not even comparable. But the Bible says, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world. You see, what the Lord Jesus Christ did here, or what God did here, is the how. It is the how. How can we do verse number 7? How can we love one another? How can we be able to commit? How can we be able to do those things? Well, it's because God sent His only begotten Son. And all of us here are familiar with that, the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for one reason and one reason only. And you're looking at Him. You say, "Well, what about me?" Well, you too. But you know, if I was the only person that ever existed in this world, it would not have changed what God did. You see, because it's not only a group love. God does not only love Faith Independent Baptist Church. He loves each and every one of us. You see, it's individual. You know, the best way that I can kind of, you know, explain that, or maybe give you an example of it, is, those of us who, that are parents and have children. I was raised in a family of 7 children. I never doubted, not one time ever, of my mom and dad's love for me. And my other brothers and sisters, they never doubted one moment my mom and dad's love for them. You see, because they not only loved us corporately, they loved us individually. You see, the Bible says that for God so loved the world. God can love everybody, but yet also love us individually. You know, well, why is that important? Well, there's nothing better than that feeling of when you're dad's favorite. And you know what? I'm dad's favorite. I'm my father's favorite. And what's amazing is, so are you. And the example was set. The Bible says that God sent His only Son, His only begotten Son, into the world, that we might live through Him. You know, I am so very grateful. The purpose. You know what God's purpose for me here on this earth is? You know what God's purpose for you is here on this earth? That we might live through Him. That we might live through Jesus Christ. Our purpose is to love through Him. And if we do that, loving others will be a whole lot easier. Doing things behind the scenes, sacrificing, and the things that we know that we should do will be there, that we might live through Him. And verse number 10 says, "Wherein is love? Proof. Wherein is love? Proof. Not that we loved God, not because, but that He loved us, but because." You know, that's really kind of strange, and sometimes if we're not real careful, we'll read over that real quick and we miss the message. Wherein is love? Where is the proof? The proof is not that, it says here, not that we love God. Because, you know, I'll tell you what, I'll be honest with you. Before I got saved, I really wasn't interested. I'm a young man, grew up in church. Good church. Heard the gospel preached from the time that I was 2 weeks old, my entire life. But you know, the ideal of loving God didn't come from me. It came from Him. Not because I loved Him, but because He loved me. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ saved me, I was sharing this with one of the young men yesterday. I felt so blessed just because He saved me. You know, as I said, I was a rotten, ordinary teenager. Got in more trouble than you'd shake a stick at. Serious trouble. And for God to be willing to say, I love you in spite of it, and I'm willing to overlook every bit of it. Wow. I got saved. I was just glad I was saved. I was glad I had the opportunity to just be a born again Christian. I was excited that God loved me and that I could be baptized and I could serve in my church and I got busy serving the Lord, not because I had to, but out of gratitude and out of love because He cared so much for me. And I always kind of looked at things and I thought, well, you know, because of who I was, that's all there is for me. And I'll not forget the night when God gave me a promotion. You say, a promotion? What are you talking about, preacher? Well, the night as I stood in the print shop with Brother Carlos Demarest, and we were going over Bibles, and I've shared that story with you. And when I answered the call to go into the full-time ministry, God loved me. He was willing to overlook all my past mistakes and failures and allow me to go on and do something great for Him. You see, the Bible says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Wow. You know what that means? What God did, He took His Son, Jesus Christ. Holy, righteous, and without sin. Imputed, placed all my sin upon His Son, and all of your sin upon His Son, and the sin of the world, and poured out His wrath on His Son. That's what that big old, long, hard to say pronouncing word means. You see, God is holy and righteous, will and has judged sin. And He took all of that, that wrath, and the penalty of death for sin, and He laid it all on Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but wow. Why? Why? I looked in the mirror this morning. Why? I know what I did this past week. Why? Because he loved me. He made a decision that if I would accept him, actually even made the decision whether I accept him or not, that he'd send his son to pay the death penalty for my sin. And if I would receive him, he would give me a home in heaven. This morning, if you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't know God like I know God, will you let us show you God? You say, well, I don't understand everything you said, preacher. Well, can I help you understand it? Can I simply tell you, God does not care who you are, what you've done, where you've been. If you're still breathing, if you're within the sound of my voice and you can hear me, God loves you. And he's done all that is necessary for you to be his child. You say, well, then why isn't it done? Well, I don't know. Why isn't it? Not on him. The amazing thing about being able to love is being loved. And folks, it'll make such a difference in your life when you have the love of God. It'll make you able to love. And if that's you here today, I would like to take the opportunity to see you get saved. But Christians, can I talk to you for just a minute? In the background, this month, I've seen a lot of things accomplished and done in our church. And as a pastor, I'm honored. I'm excited. Let's keep going. Let's not slow down. Let's not stop. You know, I'll be honest with you. And you're all going to say, well, you know, you took a vacation this month. Today, I'm just plumb tuckered and wore out. But I've had a good time this month. I've had a good time serving with you and serving you. I've had a good time kneeling and praying with you. And again, I don't take it lightly. And I was so thrilled yesterday, the joy of taking our teenagers and spending the day with them. And I want us to grow. I want us to do more. I want us to go further than we've ever gone before. And as I've shared with you this morning, we have what it takes to do it. And I want to encourage more behind the scene. I want to encourage more people to do more things. For example, we got some scripture up front here. Now, we had a day scheduled this month, and it wasn't nobody's fault. Weather wouldn't permit. But they're up here. And each one of those boxes is a presentation of the gospel. And it has been statistically said that for every John and Romans that's distributed, about 7 people will read it and at least 1 will get saved. So in those boxes up here, we've probably got about 1,500 people that'll make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. But that won't happen until they get off that platform. You know what I would encourage you to do? Now, we normally go to the fair. And it's been closed, and we haven't gone, and maybe next year we'll get back to it. And some of you saying, oh, no, we don't. But can I encourage you? I'm going to go to the fair myself. Can I encourage you to take a backpack full of scriptures? Boone County Fair. Where is our church located? Boone County. We don't have to set up a booth to pass out scripture. You say, oh, well, if we do that, people are going to throw them away. Well, there might be some to do that. But you know, the good thing about it is it won't be on you. It'll be on them. Can I encourage you, as you schedule to go to the fair this year, pass out scriptures and have fun. You know, mix some pleasure with work. I'm going to. And I've also got some streets here. I want to encourage you. Take a street. Let's get out here and let's get these scriptures out where people can see them. Let's show them the love of God. You know why they don't understand salvation? Well, because they're incapable of loving. But if you'd be the example and love them, it'll help them understand how much God loves them. So let's be busy. Let's do things for the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Chuck, if you'll come. And I know this is kind of a strange message. And that's all right. There'll be strange ones to come on down the line. But John said, beloved, let us love one another. Let's take that love we have for each other outside the door, down the street, and to other people. Because it is simply a decision that you're going to care for that person. You're going to care enough for that person to put a Gospel of John and Romans in their hand, irregardless of what they do or do not do for you. I want to encourage you to do that. You all go ahead and stand to your feet. And if God's been dealing with your heart on something, would you respond to the invitation, no matter what that is? And I want to encourage you to do that. And our altars are open. They're for prayer. And if someone is here that you're not sure, you're not 100% sure that if you were to die in the seat that you're sitting in, will you come? Or at the least, as you're leaving out today, will you stop me? Or stop somebody? And we'll show you how you can be saved. Brother Chuck.